Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Quick draw, a new segment of the Gun on One podcast, was not recorded in our regular studio. Our goal with Quick Draw is to get the audio out to you as fast as possible as we recap the Eagles game that just ended.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to our game after reaction here on Gun on One. Second game of the season. Eagles get embarrassed by the Los Angeles Rams 37-19, although they did bounce back to make a game of it. Each and every week, we're going to be here and kind of rehash the game to get some immediate game after thoughts. And so I figure, you know, nobody just wants to hear me talk. So I brought in a couple of good friends of mine. One of them is Wes Pendleton, who's one of my producers on the Gun on One podcast. And the other one is my resident bookie, Brother Dan. And guys, how you doing today? I know you're a consummate Eagles fan, so I guess it's the wrong question to ask you. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm doing real good. Thanks for letting me come on, D-Gun.
Well, let's get a general thought after, first of all. Both of all, I'll start with you, Brother Dan. Your reaction of what happened to the Philadelphia Eagles?
It's a tough loss. But if you look at my picks from last week, I kind of saw it coming. It's always tough when the Eagles play with your heart, with how they tend to come back. A little bit of show, a little bit of hope, as they did in the second quarter. So it was tough after that. But at the end of the day, I'm at peace with this team. Just not, it just doesn't seem to be the team that we thought we were going to see coming into the season. But the Rams are a good team. Their offense is clicking. Our defense struggled with making tackles all game, getting stops. There was no real reason to think the Eagles were going to pull this one out today. So that's where I am. I'm kind of a little bit on the pessimistic side.
All right, Wes?
Yeah, and I'm pretty much on the same side. There were some positive things that came out of this game, though, and I guess we'll get into some of those later. But I definitely wasn't expecting for them to win today, especially after the way they played last week and knowing that Mr. Donald was going to be coming through the front line today. So I was pretty nervous, to say the least.
This game was completely the opposite of last week's game. Last week's game, the Eagles start off great and then all of a sudden just disintegrated. This week, it was almost like the first half they were still in the locker room while the Rams decided to come out and play. And they fell behind by a big margin early on. Did you guys think when it was, 21-3, the game was over?
I definitely did. I hopped on Twitter and was just pretty much like, I guess we'll get ready to go for next game. And I didn't feel too bad about it because, again, I kind of expected the loss. But, you know, as per usual, the Eagles kind of got our hopes up a little bit there. And, yeah, it's just kind of typical.
Yeah, I agree with Wes. I was kind of checked out after the 21-3 start. What's funny is that it wasn't in the fashion that I expected. The offensive line actually played better than how I expected them to, with how they handled Aaron Donald, as they have in the last few years. Donald hasn't had any major breakout games against the Eagles, so it wasn't the same issues as they had last week, but it was all the same at the end. They ended up losing the game by I believe 18 points. So it's tough, but this team has a lot of holes all over the place. It's not just offensive line or just one thing or another. It's all around.
Hey, D-Gun, you think you could take some credit for this game too with all the they picked up the pace quite a lot. Maybe somebody was listening to the show last week.
That very well could be the case. I mean, you know, I know a lot of guys in that locker room well. I would hope that somewhere along the line that my years of vast wisdom would pay off in some way, shape, or form. But unfortunately, they got closer, to made a game up, and I'm thinking, okay, they might pull this out. And then all of a sudden, they unravel again. So when it's 21-3, they get a touchdown, and Doug Peterson decides to go for two instead of the extra point. Now, conventional wisdom says at that particular point of a game, don't go for two yet. You don't need the two right now, because if you don't get it, now you're down 12 right. instead of 11. Or, you know, if you get it, you're down 10. But at that point, you don't need it. Were you guys surprised that Dougie P decided to go for 2 points at that point?
Extremely surprised. I was actually texting in all caps asking Doug what was he doing, because I just didn't see a reason for that. I mean, you know, Dan even said in our group text, you know, the difference between 11 and 12 in a football game is not that huge of a difference. So I was extremely surprised. But I mean, that's typical of Doug. He tends to kind of have his foot all the way down on the gas and tends to get aggressive from time to time. I'm confused from time to time when he decides to get aggressive. But, you know, again, man, I'm no head coach in the NFL, so I can question why he's doing it. But I mean, maybe he has his reasons, you know?
Yeah, I think Doug, whenever the offense gets any kind of flow going, he tends to push that flow and see how much he can get out of it. Sometimes it ends up with a 2-point conversion that's failed, but sometimes it ends up with a huge play, and we call him a genius for it. So I personally like the risks that he takes sometimes, but if I'm gonna like those risks, I also have to live with us paying for it sometimes too. So I always tend to lean aggressive in how I want my coach to play or to call plays. So I wasn't too mad at that. Obviously, hindsight is 20/20, but I wasn't too surprised by that.
By the way, for all you listeners, you're listening to Quick Draw. We try to get immediate comments after the game here on the Gun on One podcast site. Joined today by one of my executive producers, Wes Pendleton, and my resident bookie, Brother Dan, two diehard Eagle fans who are emotional right now, probably borderline tears, but I'm trying to console them in any way, shape, or form. So the Eagles get within five at 21-16. They have the ball. They're on the move again, and all of a sudden, Carson goes over the middle, in the end zone, into coverage, and I'm screaming, why? Why would you throw that ball? There's double coverage right there. Why would you throw the ball at that particular time? You're not a rookie quarterback. You're a fifth-year veteran quarterback in the National Football League. You've been in the same system 5 years. Why in the world would you make that throw?
And the crazy thing is, you know, I was kind of complaining. I've been complaining about this, honestly, for like the last year. I just feel like a lot of times Carson tends to sail the ball quite a bit on a lot of his throws. And for whatever reason, with these interceptions, man, they are like dead on to where they should go. And it's almost like whoever's back there watching that play, a lot of times in double coverage, is sitting on that play. And I mean, hell of an interception. But at the same time, it's just like, bro, it's double coverage. Like, you know, what are you doing? Again, I am not a pro quarterback. You know what I'm saying? So I can only criticize Carson but so much. But, you know, being an armchair quarterback, that throw puzzled me, as do many of his throws from time to time.
Yeah, that one was a tough one. I mean, Carson is a gunslinger, and I found it funny that Fox kept bringing up Doug Peterson's relationship with Brett Favre, and talking about how Doug has been handling Carson and how much alike Carson and Brett Favre are. And that the throw actually reminded me of a chance that Brett Favre would take there, but obviously it was a great play. Carson's just in a bit of a cold streak right now. Can't take chances like that when your offense is running the way that they were. It's frustrating, but again, you got to take some of those with some of the good from Carson. But right now, he's just had a cold streak.
D-Gun, what do you think is going on with Carson like these last two games? Outside of obviously he didn't even have a pocket to operate out of last week, you know, because of injuries and stuff, but like, what do you think is going on? He seems kind of out of sorts.
First of all, I don't like Carson Wentz as a pocket quarterback. His claim to fame coming out of college was being this guy who could function on the move. I don't understand why they don't roll the pocket more. Look at how Jared Goff rolled out of the pocket, especially in that first half when he was like, what, 13 for 13? Move him out of the pocket. Move him out of the pocket. Don't let him just stand back there and be a stationary target. And you look at the Rams, they did a lot of play action, which freed up Jared Goff to do a lot of things in terms of dumping it off to a receiver, tight end, or running back, whatever the case may be. I don't know if Carson's trying to put too much on his shoulders. I don't know if he's trying to change his game to conform maybe to more of what the Doug Peterson offense wants him to do. But I think Doug Peterson and the coaching staff need to adapt more to what Carson Wentz is, to play more to his strengths. And, you know, that's let him get outside, and if he has a seam, tuck in and run and get down and don't take the unnecessary shot. Now, luckily, the Rams didn't get to Carson as much as the Washington football team did a week ago, but Carson now has 4 interceptions in 2 games. And that's very unlike Carson. You know, and you're right, Wes. I mean, he's sailing balls now. He's missing targets. And I can't pinpoint exactly what it is, but if it is a consistent problem, we have to ask the question, is it the quarterback who's just basically flatlined in terms of ability at this level, or is it him not being coached up properly by Doug Peterson and the offensive coaching staff? And that's something we're going to have to look at closely and analyze over the next couple of weeks in particular. I think after these next 4 games, when you have Cincinnati, San Francisco, Pittsburgh, and Baltimore, these next 4 games, we should get a much better evaluation of exactly what Carson Wentz is in his 5th year.
Yeah, I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, obviously, because there was no preseason getting to this point. Obviously, Dan and I, even right before the show, we're talking about all of the injuries that happened today, a lot of soft tissue type injuries. D-Gun, you brought that up and a couple episodes ago when you were talking to Brandon Graham about the fact that you were worried about a lot of soft tissue injuries, and we're right. Kind of seeing that. So I mean, I'm also kind of wondering if it's maybe because he has a brand new, you know, wide receiver core to an extent, and maybe he's just not as comfortable as maybe we thought, as much as we wish he would be at this point. But I don't know. It's just like some of those throws, man, they're like, they feel like they're like 4 feet above the receiver's head, man. And I'm just trying mm-hmm. to figure out. I didn't know maybe if he just got like you said, did he get rattled today because of the real fast turnover on that first possession by Miles Sanders? And, you know, maybe he was trying to, you know, just take the load on himself. But it's very off-putting, to say the least.
No question about it. And luckily, this is all happening in the beginning of the season and not the middle or the end. There's still plenty of time to rectify whatever ails the quarterback, whatever's ailing this offense, and my goodness, whatever ailing this defense, there's still plenty of time to rectify. One of the few bright spots today for the Eagles, I thought, was Miles Sanders. When you look at his numbers across the board, he had 20 carries, 96 yards rushing, 1 touchdown. He had 3 receptions for 36 yards and no touchdowns. So basically, he had 23 touches for 132 yards. That's not a bad day at the office for a running back. And man, does he open things up in terms of making people miss and picking up extra additional yardage.
Yeah, I loved what I saw from Miles Sanders today outside of the opening fumble. And it was funny, I had a weird feeling that he was going to fumble to start the game just off of not feeling any contact for as long as he did. I was very impressed with what I saw from Miles Sanders today. Very encouraged by that.
Yeah, and the running game just overall just was like wide open. It was, you know, night and day from week 1. And it's so crazy sometimes still seeing Boston Scott, like he's so small back there, man. Like, you know, I don't know how those linebackers or anybody on the other side of the line are even seeing him, you know. But obviously you throw Miles Sanders back there, and, you know, I mean, the whole running game just opens up.
Boston Scott is not Miles Sanders, but Boston Scott is a pretty good running back, a very good complement to a Miles Sanders. If you can keep those two healthy, I think they're going to be a pretty good 1-2 punch, just as they were just a season ago. Another thing that I liked was I thought the Eagles offensive line won the battle of the trenches against a very good Rams defensive front. I look at the Eagles rushing numbers overall on the day. And, you know, not bad numbers across the board. They had 121 yards rushing on the day. But I thought with Lane Johnson back there anchoring down the right side, it was a much better effort from tackle to tackle compared to a week ago.
Yeah, there was no sacks today, right? There was zero sacks.
Right.
And I think Carson only got touched by Aaron Donald that one time on that rollout. That's pretty insane considering the fact, you know, seeing what the Rams did last week. So yeah, I mean that's the one positive that I felt great about. It was great seeing Lane out there. He had me cracking up early this week when the Eagles put out the video of him coming back onto the practice field for the first time. My man came out with the do-rag on with the flaps. You know what I'm saying? I'm not really sure what waves he was trying to get ready for, but that thing had me cracking up. But yeah, it was good to see him out there. It seemed like the line in general just you know, bounced right back to where we're used to seeing him at.
Yeah, the line definitely settled in today. Having Lane back obviously was a huge deal for the Eagles. But as usual with Philadelphia, it's never what you expect out of a game. All week we hear Aaron Donald is going to tear apart this offensive line, and of course Aaron Donald, his name doesn't even get mentioned in the game. So typically Eagles fashion, it's not the thing that you expect.
Speaking of this too, D-Gun, what did you think about Jalen Hurts being out there for the first time and being, because you reported right before the game that he was number two on the QB depth chart?
Yeah, I thought it was a little interesting considering that Nate Sudfeld is supposed to be the number two quarterback. But when that happened, the first thing you're thinking is, okay, Doug Peterson is going to use a number of gadget plays, you know, kind of similar to what the Saints do at Taysom Hill down there in New Orleans. Now, we didn't see much of Jalen in the game today, but overall, I don't understand why you would activate him if that's all you're going to do, because if Carson gets hurt, then your next quarterback up is Jalen Hurts, who's still going through a crash course of trying to learn this offense. You want a more proven commodity back there if something would happen to your franchise quarterback. So thank goodness Carson did not get hurt in this game, and Jalen Hurts didn't have to quarterback this team, or it could have been a lot uglier than it was. You look at DeSean Jackson. DeSean Jackson finished this game, 6 catches, 64 yards. He didn't get a look in the first half. Now, last week, we were all scratching our heads wondering, how is it he only played 53% of the snaps? Now I'm scratching my head wondering, how is it that this man didn't get a target in the first half? Were you guys screaming by the fact that basically DeSean Jackson was not a part of the game plan in the first half?
Yeah, I definitely was. And like you said, what made it worse was how open he was pretty much the whole second half. So I was especially confused as to why the ball is just not going out there. I mean, I guess they did change up the way they changed up the overall play with getting the ball out pretty fast. And at first I thought, well, maybe that's why DeSean's not getting it, because obviously, you know, DeSean is usually out, you know, running up the sideline. But the fact that when they got into the third quarter, I mean, I think there was at one point, it seemed like he targeted DeSean like almost, what, 3 times in a row, it felt like? I think it might have been 3 times in a row. So if that was open the whole time, you know, why is it taking you 2 quarters to realize that? I don't know, man. The Eagles confuse me, man. I'm trying to be political on this, John, but the Eagles get on my nerves. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I definitely saw a big adjustment today compared to last week. Last week, it seemed like the Eagles were throwing the ball deep once every four plays. Today, we didn't see any real deep pass attempts to either Rager or DeSean. I think they were just trying to overcompensate for the offensive line struggles they had last week. And as a result of that, the offense seemed a little less dynamic, in my opinion.
So for the first two games, it looks like the Eagles are going to have to score points to keep their team in games, because in this particular game, I don't know what happened to this Eagles defense. I know Jared Goff was running a lot of play action, rolling out a lot, but the fact that the Eagles gave up 449 yards of offense, 191 yards rushing to this Rams team, it was almost like the defense wasn't on the field most of the day.
Yeah, the linebackers and secondary especially, man, very puzzling today, extremely puzzling. But shout out to the homie Brandon Graham for getting his first sack of the season. That was good to see.
Yeah.
But the secondary, they looked especially sleepy in that first half, man.
And Dan, I know you were especially irritated by the linebackers. I'll let you spill on that.
Yeah, they were just picking at the linebackers all game. Obviously, Higbee getting 3 touchdowns today. It was just frustrating to watch. It looked like the Eagles were guessing on a lot of the plays for the Rams, whether it would be one of their jet sweeps or a run or a play action. It just looked like they were completely guessing, and they were guessing wrong most of the time, especially for that first half with Goff starting off 12-12. It looked like they were going to put up 50, but it eventually calmed down. But it was a rough go at it for the defense today.
Yeah, and a lot of times it seems like they're doing really great and then they switch to a zone and they get burnt like every time. And I'm trying to figure out, I don't know if our guy's tired. Deegan, what are you seeing? I mean, you're the guru in this.
Well, supposedly, you know, you can't be tired. I mean, you know, you're supposed to be well-conditioned athletes. But, and, you know, the Eagles had almost as many plays as the Rams did. So you can't have fatigue as the factor there. I think it's a lack of communication on this defense. I think it's a lack of focus in some cases. And it only takes one player to not be focused and for the whole thing to unravel. And on top of that, I can't say this enough. I think the linebacking situation for the Eagles is going to cost them time and time again, especially when they're playing against better opponents in the National Football League. You look at Tyler Higbee and what he did. And I said going into this game, and I tweeted out early in the first quarter, Tyler Higbee is going to be a problem for this defense all day. And lo and behold, he ends up having three touchdown catches. And I don't know where the linebackers were on some of these plays, but we don't have that thumper. We don't have that disruptive force in linebacking, and good offenses are going to exploit that.
Right. Do you think that the line is just getting old? You think that's what it is, or is it just?
No. It's about execution and trying to be unpredictable. And right now, you know, the Eagles are a little nicked up, and Isaac Seumalo went out today with a knee injury, I believe it was. And so that hurts. You know, last week you had two guys on the right side who were out. This time you have your guy who's left tackle who was out of the game for a while. And that affects the flow and continuity in a lot of ways. But, you know, you feel that the Eagles' defensive front is the one entity that will consistently keep this team in a game. They're known for being run stuffers. And to have the Rams come in here and roll up almost 200 yards of rushing offense speaks volumes in terms of what this defense needs to do to get better and a whole lot better by next week.
Yeah, I definitely don't have much more to say. Dan, you want to finish this off?
I'm agreeing with you. If the defensive line isn't keeping you in the game and you are giving up that 190 yards rushing, there isn't much else on this defense that's going to save you. So it'll be tough when they can't stop the run. You need to make teams one-dimensional, and they weren't able to do that today. And the Rams were doing whatever they wanted. So that's a big key. Also, I think with the linebackers not having a preseason, bringing in pretty much a new linebacking crew, some of the miscommunication you saw today could be attributed to that. But again, I mean, they need to be better. They need to be better than what they showed today.
Never thought we'd be sitting here talking about the 0-2 Philadelphia Eagles, but such is the case. You are listening to Quick Draw here with Wes Pendleton, one of my executive producers on the Gun on One podcast, and of course my resident, my silent bookie, brother Dan. All right, so as much as it pains us, we must turn the page already and get ready for next week. And the Cincinnati Bengals are coming to town with that first overall draft pick, quarterback Joe Burrow. And I'll tell you guys something: the first two games, this kid has some ice water in his veins. This kid's got talent, and he's going to be a problem for a lot of teams. Hopefully not for the Eagles, but what we've seen of the Eagles the first two games, he's going to be a problem for the Eagles next week.
Yeah, I just hope that, like, you know, we talked about doing this segment, and I was like, here it is. We thought that this was going to be a good segment to kind of carry over, and, you know, because people are so used to seeing you on the sidelines after the game, D-Gun.
But I'm really hoping that, you know, Quick Draw is not going to turn into, you know, lamentations by Derek West and Dan for the whole season because the Eagles can't win a game.
You know what? Man, I'm telling you, this team could very easily be 1-5 after their first six. I mean, they've got two on the road at San Francisco, at Pittsburgh, and Baltimore at Lincoln Financial Field. I don't even want to begin to think about what this fan base would be like. You'd have a whole lot of people lining up at the Walt Whitman Bridge if this team ended up being 1-5 in their first six games. But if they don't get some of these problems ironed out, like right now, it's going to be a long season for the Philadelphia fan base.
This next week is definitely a must-win to me. I don't think you can go in expecting too much out of this team going up against San Francisco, Pittsburgh, and Baltimore. This next week is a big one for the Eagles. This can swing the season.
All right, that is going to do it for the inaugural edition of Quick Draw. For Wes Pendleton and Brother Dan, I'm Derek Gunn. We will try to be here each and every week. That is our objective, to give you initial responses, feedback, and emotions to what we watch the Philadelphia Eagles do week in and week out. We hope you'll join us each and every week. Just to kind of listen in to what we're thinking. I'm sure a lot of what we're thinking is very similar to what you, the fan base out there, is thinking as well. So until next week, so long, everybody.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.